You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Are you a business owner or executive who needs more results from your marketing team? Do you struggle to measure the results of your marketing spend? Or do you need to spend less time running marketing personally? A Metrics Marketer Fractional CMO can help. A fractional CMO delivers measurable results and value by combining real-world experience with a proven marketing framework and process, all at a fraction of the price of a full-time marketing leader. We manage and enhance your existing marketing team while creating programs designed to drive awareness, revenue, and growth for your company. Let us create, manage, and deploy a marketing strategy to help you reach your goals faster. Visit yourfcmo.com. That's yourfcmo.com. to request a free, no obligation consultation. Mention 3YPC for a special discount of 10% off our services. Grow your business faster with a fractional CMO.
Chris and the guys at Greenview Construction LLC are a firm offering professional services in design and, of course, construction. And they are proud to announce that they've completed design and 3D renderings for two spec home models located in the Jupiter and Palm Beach Gardens area, sitting on over 1 acre lots. Now, they've got four lots available for these model homes. The first is a British West Indies model style, totaling just over 4,500 square foot, air-conditioned space, five bedrooms, five bathrooms, and they boast 16-foot ceilings in some areas. The second, more traditional style home, 3,100 square foot, air-conditioned space, four bedrooms and four baths. They boast 14-foot ceilings in some areas. Both models will have a free-flowing layouts that connect the kitchen, the family room, living room, library, a den, an outdoor lanai. And both models will have an option to add a detached in-law suite if you really want the in-laws to move in, and a garage totaling an additional 1,000 square foot. You can visit Chris and the team online at www.greenviewconstruction.com. You can email Chris Tyson, that's C Tyson, as in Mike Tyson, C Tyson at greenviewconstruction.com. Or you can call 561-727-5013. They're also on Facebook, they're on Instagram, they're on Twitter. Just look for Greenview Construction. And if that wasn't enough, they have an appointment-only showroom at 715 Commerce Way West, Suite 14 in Jupiter, Florida.
Are you a South Florida property owner with an insurance claim? Are you dealing with water, mold, or fire damage? Looking for a reputable, fully licensed, insured, and certified contractor? Water Cleanup of Florida is here for you 24 hours a day. When a disaster strikes in your home or business, you need specialized, fast, and reliable services. Water Cleanup of Florida understands the impact and stress an unexpected disaster may cause. With over 62 years of combined experience, Michael, Robert, and Eric and their team is prepared to handle any size disaster. The guys are born and raised in South Florida, so changing the narrative on the way contractors conduct business in South Florida is extremely important to them. Their objective is to make cleanup and insurance claim process painless and hassle-free. Water Cleanup of Florida is also a licensed building contractor, so they provide the A to Z service, one-stop shopping that busy homeowners and business owners require. There's no need to bring in other contractors. They will handle it all for you. Call or text them anytime at 561-408-7835 for immediate assistance. The number again, 561-408-7835. Water cleanup of Florida. This show is brought to you by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is a revolutionary new daily fantasy game whereby you pick 2, 3, or 4 players to go over or under their fantasy point projections, and if you're correct, you win. Pick 2 or more players from the same sport or league, or go cross leagues for your parlay. Use the promo code 5, that's F-I-V-E, 5, and receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. But first, sign up at prizepicks.com to start winning today.
Welcome to 3 Yards Per Carry, a podcast covering the Miami Dolphins and the NFL. Now, here's your hosts, Chris, Alf, and Simon.
All right, welcome to the podcast. This is not Alfredo Arteaga. This is Kai Chen Chisholm. And of course, joining me is Juan Cardona and Roy A. Shepherd. We are The Extra Yard, which is an extension of 3 Yards Per Carry. And if you did not catch the episode last week, you should go and do so. But we are taking over for 3YPC for the month of June. Again, a big shout out and thank you to those guys as they're letting us take over and be able to do something for you guys for June so you get some episodes. It would be wrong of me to not mention that we are brought to you by Manscaped. You can use the promo code 5RSN, that's the number 5RSN, for 20% off your entire order. And this is also sponsored by Better Edge. That's BetterEdge.com/5Reasons. That's the number 5Reasons. For a $20 sign-up bonus, Better Edge is a gambler's exchange where you can shop for the best price possible on any bet you would like. Today, we're going to be joined by Houts. You can find him on Twitter at Houts. I call him Joshua, but let's get into the show and let's start to talk about some football. Joshua, how are you today?
Doing great, man. I hope everyone else is doing well. How have you guys been?
I've been chilling. Well, you know, coming off of COVID, I've been chilling, so it's been a little bit. Tired as all hell today, but I'm doing good. Royal, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing well, bro. I'm living life and loving my life. So
yeah. That's great. That's the perfect combination. Juan?
That was a better answer than mine.
I'm not going to lie, Kai. I've been struggling between troll and like trying to push positivity lately. So it's been a very conflicting couple weeks. I don't know.
The words pushing positivity coming from your mouth are probably something I never thought I'd hear in my life. What do you mean pushing positivity?
Well, I mean, we're going to talk about it further in depth later, I think. But, you know, Tyreek is not lying when he says Tua is more accurate than Patrick Mahomes. I mean, as career percentage wise, we're talking Tua at 66.2 and Pat Mahomes at 66.1. So, you know, as much as I want to, you know, make fun of the fact that we still need all this like pampering and coddling, it's like, no, these are facts. Like there's not an accuracy or a lie there, you know?
Are we really doing this at the beginning of the episode?
Yeah. I was like, we want to start with this.
Well, that's why I said I've just been the conflicting couple of weeks. You asked me to expand it on it, you know, expanded.
He did.
Yeah. I mean, I did. I was trying to see if you're like the leader of positivity, because I feel like that's very rare. It's like it's a off football topic, but it's going to go into a different reference. There's a show called The Newsroom, and the main anchor of the show, like the main character of the show, is not the main proponent of positivity. And in one of the episodes, he claims himself to be the leader of morale. I feel like his attitude and how he is perfectly reflects you saying that you're trying to lead a positivity train. But Royal, since you did question him before, I could question him as well. He's leading off with it. Tyreek Hill, of course, that's one of the main things that came out throughout the week. And I think the clips have gone out more than the full 55-minute podcast or 45-minute podcast has. What do you think of Tyreek Hill going out there and saying, no disrespect to Patrick Mahomes, but, you know, Tua is the most accurate quarterback that he's seen?
First of all, The Newsroom is a fabulous show, Kachin Chisholm. You are a man of great taste. Second of all, there is no way in hell Tyreek Hill didn't know that those clips would be taken out of context. Statistically, yes, Tua is a more accurate quarterback than Patrick Mahomes. But we're talking about a guy who's accurate throwing the ball 60 yards down the field. And Tua may have some of that in his game, but on a consistent basis, we haven't seen that. So, I mean, I was a little skeptical about, you know, what he's trying to do, but we've seen that a lot from Tyreek Hill over the course of this offseason, with him just kind of being Tua's biggest cheerleader on this press run that he's doing. And it's getting kind of creepy to me, just being honest. But I did agree with his overarching point about how important he was to Kansas City's offense. He might not have been viewed in that light, kind of seen as the third banana behind Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. But overarching, I did agree that his importance to that offense was being minimized in the national media, I guess. And so, I mean, yeah, he's gonna make an impact over here. And it sounds good for Dolphins fans to hear him say that. But, I mean, let's just wait.
He's his biggest cheerleader.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And it's getting kind of creepy. Like, who are you trying to convince, us or yourself?
I mean, that's a very good question. Who is he trying to convince?
Yes, both.
Yes, but what do you mean?
He said he's trying to convince everybody else, and he's trying to convince himself of everything that he's saying about Tua. And so, I
agree with the positivity train that I think that he is. I mean, it's statistically, as Juan said, it is a fact. Tua, you know, that man's accurate. That's what he was drafted for, to be honest, is that deadly accuracy.
Yeah, but that deadly accuracy is usually no more than 15 yards.
I mean, if he gets a chance to throw the football.
I get it. But Tyreek,
maybe 40.
Maybe 40. You know, if we push it. But it's kind of like when the regular season comes around and Tyreek Hill is 60 yards down the field wide open and that ball don't get there. Because, like then
it's going to get there.
Sure, maybe. Like, if it gets there, then great. But what if it doesn't?
And we worry, right? I think my biggest thing from this was the fact that he's going out there and he's speaking highly of his quarterback. You know, that's what we want to hear, right? When they traded for Tyreek Hill, you know, you want him to go out there and speak highly of him, but it is getting a little bit creepy. I think you have to agree with Tyreek Hill's point, though. He wants that ball right on the money so he can use that speed to get by defenses. He used the example of what that touchdown he had against the Buffalo Bills. I mean, so you can kind of see where he's coming from, but anyone, not even Galu Tagovailoa, would sit here and take Patrick Mahomes over too, am I right?
The fact that that came out so cleanly, I have to applaud, because there's no way that I would have been able to get that name out cleanly like that. I really have to applaud that.
God, we have a professional here with us today. Let's just be honest.
That was great.
No way.
You are a professional. I was gonna ask, funny enough, because I feel like when it comes to football Twitter, you and Juan are for sure, you know, more into Dolphins and football Twitter than anything. I think obviously Royal is into Heat Twitter, and then I'm more in like the side of Bayern Munich or soccer Twitter in general. You quote tweeted Stephen A. Smith today, Josh, and you know, quote tweeted the Will Smith saying "keep my wife's name out your mouth" from him telling Tyreek to stay off the weed. How do you, those are your feelings for, you know, telling him just keep Tyreek out of his mouth?
That was definitely my feelings. I mean, I had that idea for a long time. I kind of just sat on it, and for some reason they felt it like the day I kept the kids down here, ran upstairs for 6 seconds and just yelled into the thing and quick went down and put it into Premiere. But it needed to be said, and I'm sure I probably should have watermarked that because other people are going to use it and they're going to wonder who this psychopath is. But I feel like they do need to keep our quarterback's name out of our mouth.
I completely agree. I'm so tired. Well, I think we also bite ourselves in the back with this, though.
Oh, 100%. Didn't someone post a picture of like a 9-yard like accurate out route that he threw, and like one of the most impressive throws I've seen? And I'm like, what the fuck? This is.
Versus the Saints.
Are we allowed to swear? Yeah. Are we allowed to? I don't know if we're allowed to swear, but I was like,
I was told we're allowed to swear, but obviously don't. You know,
no F words. Like
too far. Just don't do it like Juan does it.
Okay, but you know what I mean. This fan base absolutely, you know, paints a big old bullseye on their back, and now with Tyreek Hill going out there and saying all this stuff, it's doing the same thing. So we kind of deserve some of this a little bit, I got to be honest.
But I feel we like fully do. I feel like, to me, this is like Tyreek trying to like bend the universe to his will. Like he's coming in with the attitude of like, nah, like I'm a star, I'm a baller. I've done what I've done with Matt Moore. Hashtag no disrespect, Matt Moore. And I'm going to continue to do what I'm going to do with Tua T, who's 10 of Matt Moore's or whatever he said. I think to me, the only like the only thing I kind of don't like the sound of, and maybe it's just like my PTSD as a Dolphin fan for the last 20 years, you know, when it flares up, is like I don't like how he sounded when he says things like he was talking about his 200-yard game to start the year, and then the next game he had like two catches, but like that game was a 35-36 loss like to Lamar Jackson. The other two games that he had like similar production, they both won those games. So when he labeled it and described it as the beginning to the end or something to that effect, where that's where things started to break between him and the Chiefs, you know, I don't know how happy money will keep him on field, you know, off the field for sure. You know, he's gonna live it up over here in Miami with that cash. But once it's on the field and it's 100%, I just don't hope he has those like those diva tendencies that start to come out when the checks are rolling in.
We talked about this last week, Juan. He definitely has it, bro.
But why not?
Why not what?
Why not have the diva tendencies? So I'm pro diva wide receiver.
They're all
if
divas.
You are good you enough.
Falls it back it up, right?
Yes. If you go out there and you go diva wide receiver like Chad Ochocinco, or well, T.O. was never really a diva, but I guess the media kind of, I think Chad was more on that side than T.O. was. But if you go out there and you do what Chad did, then full reins, take it. But if you go out there and you do what, I don't know, like Cole Beasley does, then I don't want to hear
it. That's a Cole Beasley.
Listen, but the thing is, if Tyreek underperforms this season, he's not going to catch the smoke, bro. They're going to put all of this squarely on Tua Tagovailoa, bro. That's the reality.
That's kind of more so my point too. It's like I'm not concerned of who's saying it and their production. I'm more so concerned about the guy who's gonna have to hear, "Hey, why aren't you getting Tyreek the ball?" And that just becomes another distraction for Tua, politically correct, whoever starts at quarterback. Because then now it's
you're such a horrible person.
How?
Come on,
how? 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 I'm being politically correct. Whoever's starting at quarterback, he's talking about Matt Moore. I mean, what if we go sign Matt
You're
Moore?
You're awful. You are awful. You want to be the leader of positivity to then say.
I absolutely love Juan Cardona. Thompson. I don't care what you guys are talking about. Right?
Skylar Thompson.
Skylar Thompson's been balling for, you know, according
You're
to sources.
You're horrible.
But to your point, Juan, I just want to say this before we move along or whatever. He did have a career-high 159 targets last year. So, I mean, to hear him say some of this stuff, I mean, you're 100% right, man. And I think, you know, he said he was underutilized, but is the word maybe, you know, underappreciated that he may have felt. And, you know, he was like the third wheel, like Royal said. So, at some point, you know, it might boil over, but we hope not, right? I mean, but I guess that's what you get when you trade for a Tyreek Hill.
I'll take it all day when it comes to a top two wide receiver.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah, hell yeah.
This is what I'm saying. You take it every day of the week. Imagine, like, you remember when 19 and 15, or formerly 15, but now 2, but now not on the Dolphins, they went off for like a couple games and they were having great games. They high-fived as they were going to the end zone. What we have now with Tyreek and Jalen Waddle is that, but on crack. Like, that's what we have.
Speed.
I was gonna say that.
Like, that's the reference. Right, though, it literally is. You're right. It's
I mean,
speed.
If we're being honest, the Dolphins have the fastest wide receiver duo in the NFL.
And I don't think it's even close.
100%.
Yeah, it's not particularly close, which is why what Tyreek is doing, for all intents and purposes, yes, like you expect this from your leading diva receiver or whatever he is or whatever he's going to be. But I'm not sure if it's been explained to him the type of target that it puts on not only the Dolphins, but Tua Tagovailoa's back as well. Like, there will be shots thrown at Tua if Tyreek doesn't produce. And that is kind of where these comments kind of get a little bit shaky for me. It's like, bro, you've said it. You've made your point. Chill on the subject. Like, don't start comparing him to Patrick Mahomes, because then everybody else will.
He was already being compared to Herbert and Burrow anyway, right? And now you threw Patrick Mahomes in there in the division. You got Josh Allen. So You're right. They just keep painting a bigger bullseye on his back, and you hope Tua goes out there and makes it all happen, right? I mean, finally, you can't sit here and make an excuse for the offensive line. I know I have. You know, for skill position players, you can't do that anymore. You got Tyreek Hill. You got Jaylen Waddle. You know, the plethora of offensive line help they brought in, the different coaches. Now's the time. Tua got to go out there, and regardless of all the media hate and, you know, the big black cloud hanging over his head, he's got to go out there and do what he did. And, you know, that's the reason so many of us wanted to tank for Tua, is because of that quarterback he was, that accurate quarterback, like Tyreek Hill said.
And
how's is the real positivity here?
Well, I was also going to push some positivity towards
Tua. Yeah, it's an illness for me.
Yeah, I'm like allergic to it. But I think for me, I still have to point the, you know, to me, it's the elephant in the room that as things currently stand, it's looking like Austin Jackson is going to be blocking Tua's blind side. I don't know.
Okay, wait. Before we get into that, before we get into that, I do want to bring up one last little part of the It Needed to Be Said podcast featuring Tyreek Hill's lawyer, whose name I literally just forgot again. It was on the top of my head. And his agent, Drew Rosenhaus. I'm going to try to get it just because I feel like it's disrespectful to not get his name. But it is Julius Collins. He talks about a bunch of stuff in it. Of course, within the 53 minutes to 51 seconds, I don't think many people have fully watched it through, but they've seen every single clip possible on Twitter. One quote was getting thrown around a lot, and I do want to ask this because I am probably the biggest proponent and biggest cheerleader of Mike McDaniel, and I think I have been for quite some time. You know, once I got over the drama and the hurt of firing the first coach that brought us to 2 winning seasons in 20 years. But Tyreek had a quote where he talked about KC, and I'm guessing more specifically Andy Reid, and then praised Mike McDaniel for something where he says, quote, "They didn't even want me to leave to go see my granddad, and he was having surgery. I'm like, yo, like, this is, like, ridiculous, you know? And now I'm, like, with the Dolphins. I say, coach, I'm gone. He's like, all right, cool," end quote. Royal, I want to ask you, because a lot of people are saying substitute teacher vibes from Mike McDaniel. We've talked multiple times on The Extra Yard. We've talked multiple times now on 3OPC from last week and this week about how he is a zero-win head coach. Does this concern you, or do you think Tyreek's making it seem a little easier than it really is?
It seems like you read my Twitter, Kyle Chisholm, because as soon as I saw this, I quote tweeted and said, big substitute teacher vibes. That is not something that I would like to hear. Tyreek Hill is on a new team. He's in a new system. He has a new quarterback. He needs as many reps as humanly possible with the Dolphins. I mean, look, I'm all for, if you have a family emergency, taking the time necessary in order to get that checked out, cleared out, all that kinds of stuff. But to just say that I just tell coach I'm gone and he's like, okay, listen, man, that sounds like a friend and not a coach. And the Dolphins aren't going to need a friend at the helm during the season with this much, like, riding on it. So I was not a fan, and I'm going to let the other guys kind of get into it from the Dolphins' perspective.
I honestly saw it how you saw it, I think, initially. I want to be very, like, I want to tread lightly when it comes to Tyreek, because I'm still trying to get a feel for how he is as a person. So maybe he's, like, I don't know. To me, it just kind of comes off like angry ex syndrome, or like he's still kind of like, not, I don't want to say salty, but like still in his feelings or hurt about how it ended over there and how it could have gone. And that's how it comes off to me, where I don't like that as like supposedly the, you know, the upgrade to them, or the rebound, I guess, is what I'm feeling more so like. Because then it's like every single compliment for Tua and the Dolphins is immediately followed by like a slight of the Chiefs and what they did or how they did it. And, you know, I just don't know how to feel or process that just yet. I need to see Tyreek, you know, kind of be around the guys a little more and see how that starts to build, because I think it does matter. Especially kind of like what Royal was saying about the substitute teacher vibes. I mean, it's funny to say, but we're talking about Andy Reid. We're talking about, what, like, 2 decades worth of NFL coaching experience. So it's kind of like one of those Mike Westhoff things where it's, okay, I'm not going to completely say, you know, like, dismiss it. And I'm also not going to just, you know, take it for this grand thing. I'm just going to, you know, kind of level it and see how it plays out ultimately.
I mean, he definitely sounds salty to me, right? I mean, like you mentioned, every chance he gets, he throws some sort of shade. And I mean, we're diehard Dolphin fans, but I mean, you might be a little salty too if you had to leave Kansas City where you just won a Super Bowl and, you know, we're catching passes from Patrick Mahomes to now go to South Florida. But the thing with Andy Reid, man, that definitely raised my eyebrows. I mean, you hope that he didn't prevent him from going to see his grandfather. But at the end of the day, I think it might be more like Kai said, you know, he's exaggerating, trying to prove, you know, he's in the right situation now. He's got the perfect coach, this, that, or the other thing. But honestly, just like both of you, when I first heard that, you know, you read it, everything sounded good until the end. It definitely sounded, gave off that substitute teacher vibes. And I don't think we're quite ready to get to it, but I thought substitute teacher would have been the perfect transition for, you know, what you guys want to talk about later on.
Kai, I got a question for you. For you though, before we get to it though, like, as a Dolphins fan, what kind of precedent does that set for other young players on the team if Tyreek Hill is coming out saying things like this and he's going to be viewed as a leader, in, especially in that wide receiver room? Like, how does that sit with you when a player comes out and say, you know, I could just leave practice whenever I need to? Like,
so it, with everything on the It Needed to Be Said podcast, and obviously, we talked about the two clips that were the two clips created into one that were used to promote it last week. And we will move off of it a little bit here after this one, unless anybody wants to, you know, rebuttal off of anything I say here. My whole thing with all of it is that I think this is more of what we've seen a la Pat McAfee and how he's had his career afterwards, where everyone now is starting a podcast. Hell, our long snapper has a podcast with his brother, who's the long snapper for the Buffalo Bills. Everybody has a podcast, everybody has a show, and everyone's trying to lead more life outside of football once football is over. I think that a lot of what was talked about in this first episode is going to be the meat and potatoes of any episode that he releases afterwards. I think this is probably going to be the biggest hit, unless maybe he records an episode after a Dolphins loss where Tua underthrows a ball and it should have been a touchdown. That's the only way that I could see that we get anything more out of it. I think a lot of it is just for clicks. I don't think that there's a ton of basis in a lot of his claims. I mean, he talks a lot about how he wanted to be in KC, that they tried to work out a deal, but then at the same time, Drew Rosenhaus had come out and said that, you know, they weren't working out a deal with KC, that they weren't going to do it, that he didn't want to be in KC, and he had requested a trade. I believe half of what Tyreek is saying, and I don't believe the other half. I think a lot of this and a majority of the 53 minutes is all clicks, and they're getting put out on Twitter. They're being talked about on First Take. They're being talked about on Fox Sports everywhere. I mean, it was on the McAfee Show, which is the biggest, I think, sports show that currently exists in the United States of America. I think a lot of it's just for clicks. I don't put too much weight into it at all. I don't know if that suffices for you, Royal, but that's how I see it.
That's a fair assessment in my eyes.
I'll just lastly add to that. If they're all going to perform like Tyreek Hill, none of them have to practice, so I'm okay.
You know, that is true. We go from one thing that I believe is all for clicks to another thing that I also believe is all for clicks. Albert Breer came out with the Monday afternoon quarterback, in which he detailed that the Saints weren't going to, you know, pay Sean Payton a ton of money, and Sean Payton wanted to retire or go elsewhere or whoever, but the Dolphins were offering a 4 or 5 year deal worth $100 million to come be the coach. This comes off of multiple reports that the Dolphins were interested in Sean Payton, and multiple reports that the Dolphins were either interested in Brady as their quarterback slash coach or in an ownership position while also playing, which who knows how the hell that would have even worked in the first place. Houts, do you put any credibility? It is Albert Breer. I don't think Albert Breer is a horrible reporter. But do you put any credibility to the Dolphins getting ready to offer this crazy contract to Sean Payton and then the Saints essentially saying, no, we're not going to trade his rights to you?
correct me if I'm wrong, but I think Dave Hyde was the first one that brought it up. And I think that kind of, you know, raised my eyebrows a little bit more than Albert Breer. But, you know, I think we all kind of sat there, and when the Dolphins, you know, were going through their head coaching process, a lot of us kind of saw him just kind of waiting things out. And I know a lot of us, at least I thought it might have been for Jim Harbaugh or one of those other whales. And it turns out it might have been for Sean Payton. I mean, would I have been upset if the Dolphins lured Sean Payton to Miami? Absolutely not. I mean, that would have been that whale that he's been searching for so many years. But I keep thinking to myself, if they would have got Sean Payton, would they not have had to give up draft capital to bring him to Miami? I mean, that might not have been Tyreek Hill. That might not have been that war chest of draft picks that you're relying on in case Tua Tagovailoa doesn't work out. So I think right now I do not want this dark cloud hanging over the Dolphins' head after, you know, we went through the whole Deshaun Watson thing. Now you're sitting here talking about Sean Payton, Tom Brady. I mean, what if... What does Mike McDaniel have to do to assure himself a second season? I mean, it almost sounds like they're trying to push him out the door, but I think it is mostly for clicks. But again, if you're telling me worst case scenario, for whatever reason, I don't think it's going to happen, but Mike McDaniel, you know, falls on his face like Cam Cameron, the backup plan would be Sean Payton and maybe Tom Brady. I mean, no one should be upset by that, but I'm not trusting Dave Hyde or Albert Breer in this situation.
Juan?
Brady, Payton, Brady, Payton.
You went from the leader of positivity to now you and House being rooting for Sean Payton and Tom
Brady.
But
no. I'm trolling there. But no, honestly, I don't care. I mean, if Ross thinks that Sean Payton's worth 25 M's, then shit, who am I to tell him he's not? And if that meant Brady too, oh well, you know, then we're going for it, bro. Like, I don't really put too much stock into it at all. I think ultimately, yeah, it kind of is for clicks now. Maybe there were conversations. Maybe there was maybe phone calls exchanged, whatever it may be. But it ultimately didn't lead anywhere. And we kind of got the guy that we all wanted or Kai made us want. In Mike McDaniel, right? And not for nothing, but like Houts was saying, like, potentially having to make those trades because it would have had to been trading for Peyton and it would have had to been trading for Brady, you know, maybe that doesn't equate to being able to go ahead and get Tyreek. And then all of a sudden the Tua insurance policy is spent on maybe 1 to 3 years of Brady and Peyton, which, by the way, I would have done, but I'm just pointing it out that that's no longer a possibility in that hypothetical, right? And and truthfully, I would say it's probably more likely that it was, you know, talked about in real seriousness by Ross, because, you know, we've seen him go after Jim Harbaugh multiple times. We've seen him go after him having a coach. We've seen him go and land Sue. Is it really shocking to me to hear that he potentially was trying to get Sean Payton to come over here and coach Brady out of retirement? That sounds like a big enough story and a national like headline that I would see Ross being like all over that.
Just for I guess funny comments sake, but not funny comments sake as well, we've also very allegedly seen him attempt to allegedly go after the number 4 quarterback for the Cleveland Browns on trade deadline night in November last year. So he will do anything to win, allegedly. Royal, your thoughts as a Packers fan to this type of news?
Yeah, I'm with one. I don't care. It's a hypothetical pie in the sky type thing. Mike McDaniel is the coach, and it's much more interesting to me to see how he pans out with this roster, with Tua. Like, to me, that's a much more interesting storyline than, you know, the Dolphins getting Sean Payton and Tom Brady and probably winning the Super Bowl. I mean, I'm with one. Like, if that was on the table, I would.
Depressed now.
I'm sorry?
Don't make us depressed now.
Juan brought it up. Juan said if y'all got that duo, then you probably win the Super Bowl, and I agree. That's the case. He was the best coach available, but it did not pan out, so ultimately I don't care. Like, that news doesn't move me. I'm still much more interested in what the Dolphins are going to do with the people that they have in-house right now, not to play on House's name.
Now it just feels like a dagger to the heart. I mean, you guys both said we would have had a Super Bowl by now, right?
Listen, one Super Bowl this year is much more than you guys have experienced in the past 34 years.
Yeah, you're a jerk.
So not happening. It's a dagger to the heart.
But either way, though, like, it's still like there's still potential for great growth from this team. You still can find enjoyment out of the season that's to come. But, I mean, there are no Super Bowl expectations that, like, there would have been had Sean Payton and Tom Brady had been in Dolphins colors.
Let me throw you guys a hypothetical. This is the question. What type of year does Tua and McDaniel have to have in 2022 for Brady and Payton to come knocking at 2023? And you say absolutely not.
You already know my answer.
They have to win a Super Bowl.
Okay, that's ridiculous. Fuck. You both know my answer.
That's a good question. I don't know.
My answer has always been that no matter what, even for Mike McDaniel, and I've said this publicly, I've said this to you and Royal Juan, that I think that Mike McDaniel this year, year one, no matter what, has to go to the playoffs. You fired a coach who came off of two back-to-back winning seasons, one win from the playoffs, who you could argue the quarterback cost them those two chances to get to the playoffs. Dolphins fans might not like that, but that's just the cold-blooded truth.
I'm going to use up one of the curse words that we have available to us. Kotch and Chisholm, you got me fucked up.
Okay, listen, that's just the truth.
There's no way, like, Sean Payton and Tom Brady give you a guaranteed
Correct. Tom Brady was MVP-like last season.
You're telling me that one playoff game is enough to take you away from winning your first Super Bowl in your lifetime? There's not a chance in hell. I'm sorry.
Well, first of all, I grew up a Giants fan, so I experienced two Super Bowl wins in my lifetime, and they were both beautiful. Beating the evil empire and sustaining the Dolphins' undefeated season in one, and the other one getting to just watch beauty. So I've been able to witness Super Bowl, so I'm chilling, although I would love the Dolphins to win one because I feel like that would matter more to me than any Super Bowl that I've been able to even witness. But I think for Mike McDaniel to keep his job, he absolutely needs to go to the playoffs and win said playoff game. I think Tua needs to show that he is the guy, because I believe firmly that if Aaron Rodgers did not play football last year, the most valuable player would have gone to Tom Brady. He played outstanding, especially considering the fact that this dude shouldn't even be able to throw a football. His knee should not be able to work. His toes should be bent backwards and not be able to walk. Yet somehow he's eating avocado ice cream and throwing touchdowns and almost leading comebacks against the eventual Super Bowl winning champion, LA Rams. He played fantastic. He is, at Dolphins fans are not going to like it. He is the greatest quarterback that has ever played this game. And he was with a coach who is unfortunately the greatest coach that's ever coached in the NFL ever. He is fantastic. Him and Sean Payton, I think, would be amazing. But in the reality that I live in, Sean Payton's going to end up being the Dallas Cowboys head coach next year. And if Tom Brady retires, I personally don't even think this Fox deal is actually going to materialize. I think he'll end up being some part of the ownership group for the Miami Dolphins. There's nothing that, in my one heart of hearts, actually
one championship
that
is worth all of that for the Miami Dolphins.
I don't think he plays a game in a Dolphins uniform.
You're probably right. Yeah. I mean, I can see where you're coming from. I would hate to be a billionaire or whatever Stephen Ross is to have to make that decision right at the end of this year. I mean, we know Tua is going to go out there and, you know, place a certain he's going to be good, but I mean, at what level good? And then you got to decide on if you want to bring Brady in, then same with Mike McDaniel. So I hear exactly what you're saying. I just don't know if, you know, Stephen Ross from a business standpoint is going to say, okay, well, you won 10 games, didn't make the playoffs, you're out of here for Sean Payton. But like Kai mentioned, the Dallas Cowboys, if teams start to, you know, come crawling around Sean Payton and that was your ultimate plan where you're ready to drop everything and give him a four-year deal worth $100 million, I mean, you might feel like you have to, you know, play your card now and go after him. So but I'm completely with both of you. I mean, you would have to make that trade. You know, if we went back a year into the offseason and you had Sean Payton and Tom Brady sitting there, you would have to give up those picks for that championship, because we haven't won a freaking playoff game in, what, 22 years or something like that? It has to be time soon.
I'm just hurt. Like, I don't know. Like that. I think in total, I'm just hurt, and I would love to have Tom Brady. I can't see where, after year 45, and I know we say this every year, we've been saying this every year for almost a decade now, where you're saying after year 35, after year 36, after the greatest comeback in NFL history in a Super Bowl, after this, after that, can he continue to do it? I think he definitely can. But I just, you have to trade draft capital. Listen to me. You have to trade draft capital for the rights to Sean Payton. Currently, there are avoidable years on the Brady contract. Who knows what the actual deal itself is for what he has. Obviously, Spotrac has details, but with how deals are now, there's avoidable years, there's this, there's that, there's anything under the sun. Taysom Hill got a four-year, $120 million contract that the Saints don't have to pay him, but they have to pay, apparently, to the cap. I don't see them trading the quote-unquote Tua insurance policy to get the rights to Sean Payton, because the Saints aren't going to let that go easily. And then at the same time, if needed, also give, you know, draft capital to potentially get Tom Brady as well for that one Super Bowl year. I think Stephen Ross is extremely desperate for a Super Bowl. I don't think that after the failure of not being able to secure both of them this past offseason, after the failure of not being able to secure both of them the offseason of COVID, where he tried to convince Brian Flores to get along with the ride, I don't see it happening. As much as I would love to see it, I don't see it.
You're talking about people who are high school sophomores right now when you talk about these damn draft picks. No,
I'm aware. I am in the LA Rams mindset where you give me Jalen Ramsey for three first-round picks. I don't care. He's one of the best, if not the best, corner in football. He is already a Hall of Famer.
And they won a Super Bowl using that formula.
I just don't think that the Miami Dolphins are going to give up the Tua insurance policy, because let's be realistic, whether Dolphins fans like it or not, as we've said multiple times, this is the Tua insurance policy. The draft picks for next year is the Tua insurance policy. I don't see them giving that up for Brady and Sean Payton. I just don't. If you're telling me that they're going to go over there and give it up to go get Lamar, that's believable. Mm. I don't think that they're going to give that up for Tom Brady and Sean Payton. I just don't see that.
Here's why I would tell you, this is my reasoning why I could see it happening. And this is like the hypotheticals of hypotheticals. Tyreek gets his 50 mil cap hit when? I think 2025, 2026, something like that.
I'll double check.
When it comes to Brady, this team is literally plug and play quarterback. We're talking about 3, 4, 5 deep at wide receiver. We're talking about Mike McDaniels running, zone and everything that comes with that. You're talking about a defense that's already ready and set how we're, you know, all claiming to be. I don't see how it wouldn't be an easy sell for Ross to look around and be like, well, if there's ever a time to swing for the fences and actually, you know, make some damn contact, like why not now? And maybe it's not even I don't know what it would cost to get Payton. I would hope it wouldn't cost, you know, draft picks like a first or second or anything like that. I'm not really sure.
Maybe it would.
I think Gruden went for something similar to that. Even though that's a, you know, pretty horrible.
We don't talk about Gruden. No.
But I would just be curious to see how all in Ross would be to go and get a Super Bowl before he kind of, you know, hangs it up himself, you know, quote unquote, because he is up there in age, you know. So I do see the desperation there, and even more so after you kind of laid out that timeline where it's like, well, damn, bro, it's been 3 years I've been trying to get this dude, and he's into it, I'm into it. He's probably gonna want to be a president of a football operations after that. Come fuck Belichick twice a year and we'll be good.
You're using all the curse words.
Sorry.
I do think I agree with Kai, though. I think maybe that ship did sail, but again, it all depends on what the Dolphins do this season. I mean, right? I mean, it comes down to if they go out there. Again, I don't know. Are you guys both saying that? I know Royal kind of alluded to it, but Juan, do you agree that if they don't go out there and make the playoffs, I guess, or win a playoff game, I guess, you know, they could still entertain this? Is that what you guys are thinking?
I personally have been completely against Kai when it comes to that. I am not putting first-time head coach after first-time OC last year, and I'm not telling him, hey, you're going to have to come in and win a playoff game. I personally, and this is all due respect to Kai, I don't see that as fair to him. I see that as kind of just thinking that he's coming in, to talk about John Gruden again, kind of like in the John Gruden situation where Tony Dungy built up that whole team and Gruden's just going to come back clean up. Like, I don't necessarily see it like that. I think there still needs to be a lot more work done with Tua and figuring out if he's the guy. So, and again, Austin Jackson, blindside blocker. Mike McDaniel has his cards out. You know, he has his own battles he has to deal with before me laying on and telling him, hey, playoffs or I don't know if you're going to be here next year. So I personally don't agree.
No, I want to make myself like clear. Like, I was just using that as the hypothetical. Like, if Sean Payton and Tom Brady are available, then what they have to do this year is win a Super Bowl in order for me not to consider bringing those two in. In terms of what my expectations are for McDaniels this year, realistically, I disagree. One, I think he does have to win a playoff game. Like, I'm with Kai. Like, you're bringing him in after a coach who produced two back-to-back winning seasons, like, or back-to-back winning seasons. And so if he comes in here and he has a worse season, then how can you justify, like, this entire thing? And I'm talking strictly football, not personalities and things like that. I'm talking about he has to go out there and he has to win games. Otherwise, his first season can be viewed as an objective failure based off of what this team has done the past 2 years.
I completely agree. And to give a hypothetical that I think would be more relevant, and this is not to discredit that, because I think there is obviously, I think that the news now is more so just getting as many clicks as possible regarding Peyton and Brady. Although obviously there is clear traction, allegedly, reportedly, to this, you know, Peyton and Brady and just Brady and Dolphins, I guess, fandom sort of thing that I would say. I think a better hypothetical, as we start to kind of round out the show, and I think this is kind of one that we can talk about a little bit, is more so, yes, do I think that Mike McDaniel needs to win a playoff game or at least get to the playoffs this season? Absolutely. It back-to-back winning seasons for the first time in 20 years, you fire your head coach because he's an a-hole. Great. That's cool. He had back-to-back winning seasons for the first time in 20 years. You're bringing in a new head coach who's supposed to be this offensive philosophy. We've had that with Tony Sperano, quote-unquote, allegedly, because that was never going to be true. We had that with Adam Gase, and it happened for a small amount of time until Ryan Tannehill tore his ACL, and it looked like that was going to be at least a year where they might win a playoff game against the Steelers before they got blown out and Matt Moore got his head taken off. The better hypothetical, I think, is if they do get to the playoffs and you look at the team, and let's say that playoff game, you're Stephen Ross, and you see, man, if I just get the right quarterback in, will this team be able to make it there? I think if that Lamar Jackson doesn't make traction with the Baltimore Ravens this offseason onto a deal, the better hypothetical could be, do you sell the farm for the kid who literally grew up in your backyard? That's the better one, in my opinion. Everything. I don't think that Lamar Jackson is a great thrower, and I would still do it.
Listen, bro. I'm going to make 3 yards per carry history. This is going to be the first time I pack somebody ass up from the damn Dolphins. Pack all they ass up and go get me Lamar Jackson. If that's
absolutely,
if he wants to come home, pack they ass up. Get them out of here. Bring me Lamar. Figure it out after that.
I try to stay out of all that because I know people, you know, jump on if even and entertain Lamar Jackson or Kyler Murray, any of these guys. But if Tua goes out there this year and you don't see the type of quarterback that you want, I mean, again, Stephen Ross was reportedly banging the table for Lamar Jackson, grew up right down the street, and we know he's still trying to work out that long-term deal there with Baltimore. So they're going to hate this episode of 3 Yards, aren't they? I mean, we're talking about Brady, Sean Payton, Lamar Jackson.
We're telling them the truth, reportedly.
we're the fake 3 yards per carry, and that boy Pops. Lamar Jackson, that boy from Pompano won.
Yeah, facts. This is a no-brainer. I'm out here like blank check shoddy. Like, give him the blank check, sign it. You tell me what you want to get paid. Lamar is dynamic. You pair him up with Mike McDaniel in that run game. Tyreek, Waddle, Gesicki. I mean, maybe one of them aren't here. You know, I couldn't tell you what the kind of the trade would be. Especially because I guess in this, hypothetical, Tua does not kind of perform this year, so I wouldn't think that he's maybe part of that trade. But I'm all for Lamar. Shit, you're talking to the wrong one if you think I'm gonna push it.
I'm just saying, I think that is by far the easier one, because again, if we want to talk about Brady, and we'll try to wrap this up a little bit here, but if we want to talk about Brady and the past 3 years, essentially, because it, obviously we've been under the COVID stuff now for 2 years, and of course COVID is when they first started going after Brady and the yacht visit allegedly and everything like that. This has gone back to draft night, as Hout said, as you said, Juan, where Stephen Ross is banging the table for them to draft the dude who literally grew up in your backyard to come be the quarterback of the Miami Dolphins. And we did not go ahead and do that, or the team did not go ahead and do that. And if that fixation has been there since that day, we're talking 5 years ago over that 3 years. And if you tell Stephen Ross, coming off of a playoff game where Tua didn't look great, listen, first playoff game, regardless, all the rumors, everything will run rampant. If you tell him, listen, we can give away our Tua insurance policy and maybe another first in a year after that in a second, and we can go out there and get Lamar Jackson, the guy that you were banging the table to go after, the guy who now will bring everything to the franchise along with him and Tyreek in terms of marketability, you know, being able to be marketable, being able to generate revenue around the stadium, around the city. I don't think he even blinks. I think he immediately says, I don't care what it takes. I completely sign off on the deal. And the reason why I believe that is because of what he almost allegedly did in November last season when that trade almost went through reportedly. So I think that that would be a no-brainer hypothetical personally.
Let's just be honest. Baltimore would be ridiculous to trade away Lamar Jackson. They'd be crazy to do that.
Why? They have Huntley. He's very good. Like
Trace McSorley still there?
maybe. He's also very good.
First of all, Brett Huntley was also over here at Green Bay. That boy is not very good.
What was their number two?
It's not Brett Huntley. It's someone else. I can't remember his name right now.
Well, that guy, he looked pretty good. He looked Lamar.
Oh, you're talking about fake Lamar.
Yeah, that dude.
Okay.
We're not calling him fake Lamar because maybe there's like a Baltimore Ravens scout that's listening to this. Your backup quarterback is very good. If you need to trade Lamar,
Tyler Huntley.
That's the dude. You guys are in great hands with Tyler. I promise.
There is also Brett Hundley and Tyler Huntley on the same team. That's just how I think that would be a little more realistic. I know it's not a popular talking point, but
can I ask Houts one more question?
Of course.
Okay, Houts, like off subject, but this year, what's your best narrative matchup? Like Tua versus Burrow, Tua versus Herbert, Tua versus Flores.
Jeez. I don't know, man. I think to me, it's Tua versus first four games of the season, right? I mean, that start to that season is going to be, I keep looking at it. That's going to be telling for, you know, the entire year because some of those are big time AFC matchups. So that'll be my cop out. But I mean, everyone's waiting for that Burrow versus Tua matchup. And so any of them, but I'm going to start with those 4 weeks, man. Those first four games of the year are going to tell a lot about this team.
For me, I think Tua versus can he throw the ball to Tyreek Hill just so I can make some enemies?
Tua versus Flores, because that one is the one that involves a black man, and I'm going to say that.
It involves two black men. What do you mean?
Tua Tagovailoa is not black.
I'm sorry. Tua Tagovailoa is a brown Hawaiian man, apparently.
I'm about to say, that boy is Polynesian.
Polynesian? Well,
I don't think so.
We round out.
Moana jokes last week. Polynesian.
Oh yeah, you also brought up anime. That was going around for four straight days. Where in the 3YPC chat, everyone was asking, couldn't believe that you still were able to sneak in anime. We're not going to be able to do that today, although we are going to reference it. Houts, I do want to thank you for joining us this week. A little bit of a reminder to everybody that we will be trying to get another guest. I know myself and Juan are working on it. We're not sure if it's going to materialize. And then, of course, either next week or the week after for either episode 3 or episode 4 this month of June, we'll be having a contest winner that will be able to come on and, you know, chat the chat with me, Juan, and Royal, if Royal is available to come on as well. But Houts, I mean, I think it is fair to say where can they find you, although I think everyone already knows where they can find you, but just everything that you're doing, where people can find you, how can they do that?
Yeah, just follow me on Twitter, @Houts. I post some funny Dolphin stuff and videos and things like that. And guys, just thank you so much for having me on here. I mean, I'm going to be honest, you guys are some of my favorite people that I met on Twitter. So to be able to come on here and shoot the crap, even if we talked about a bunch of hypotheticals that may never happen because, you know, Mike McDaniel and Tua Tagovailoa are going to go out there and win a playoff game this year. It was definitely awesome. Thank you again for having me. And I hope this is the year that the Dolphins change all those fortunes that have looked so down.
That's true team positivity, by the way, Juan. You can find Juan at Exclusivity, or you can find him everywhere and anywhere. Whenever there's a mention of Tua being good, you'll see him throwing a picture out there of either Noah Igbinoghi, or you'll see him throwing a picture out there of Justin
Davis
Herbert.
Mills. No, it's
you
Davis
can
Mills.
Also, yeah, it's true. You can also find Royal at Royal A Shepherd. That's at Royal A S H E P Herd. Because I feel like everyone can just do Herd, H-E-R-D. And then, of course, you can follow our show, The Extra Yard, on the Five Reasons YouTube channel. We do that every Wednesday, although this month, of course, we're not because we're hosting through IPC. And then you'll be able to see us do stuff at minicamp. You'll be able to see us do stuff everywhere and anywhere. And, of course, Royal is the guy you want to follow for basketball stuff as well. And then if you ever want to follow any soccer content, you can follow me on Twitter at Samurai Radio, 2 I's and Samurai. That is all. That's been the podcast. Last week I did it in a certain way. Instead of doing that's it, I'm just going to say, in case I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
Thanks for listening to 3 Yards Per Carry. You can subscribe via iTunes, on Podbean, or your usual podcast provider.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.